Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Tuesday night here on KCRW. And this week and next week, we will be listening to comedy which was made for charity. When, in last March, Robin Williams and Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg put together the Comic Relief Benefit to aid the homeless, everyone thought, well, what a novel idea, using comedy to raise money for a serious cause. However, since 1976... the cream of British comedy has been getting together to benefit Amnesty International, a cause which helps to relieve the lot of political prisoners and tortured people around the world. And so I thought that it might be fun to play these things together. This week we'll mainly be listening to the Amnesty International shows, most of which were produced by John Cleese, by the way. And next week we'll be listening to highlights from Comic Relief. It is also worth noting that although the British records are hard to find, the proceeds from all these British records and the American Comic Relief record and video all go to benefit the causes, the respective causes. So without any further ado, let's listen to John Cleese's introduction to one of the Amnesty concerts. I'll give you some more information about these records at the end of the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we start the show this evening, we do just want to take this opportunity of expressing on behalf of Amnesty our sincerest thanks to you for being with us tonight. And I'm sure that you'll be thrilled to know that tonight's house has raised the truly magnificent sum of £17,560. Thank you. And in particular, we want to say a special word of thanks to all of you down here who've paid the rather splendid price of £12.50 a ticket. It's a terrific gift. I'm sure all the rest of you will be interested to know that had you all paid £12.50, we would have raised over £52,000. But nevertheless, we do really do want to thank each and every one of you, even those of you right up the top there, who only paid the minimum of £6. Thank you.
£3.50.
What?
It's £3.50.
I heard that.
Up there.
I heard that. £3.50.
£3.50. Oh, you are joking.
No, it's £3.50 up there.
Pathetic.
You bastards. I mean, people being tortured to death all over the world, and you're prepared to cough up the price of a prawn cocktail. I mean, aren't you ashamed of yourself gate-crashing a charity event like this when public figures like us, personalities, whose very urine samples are of national importance, give our services perfectly free for absolutely nothing, not a miserable... Yes, you're right. Never mind. We won't spoil the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, I did want to thank all of you. Well, most of you, anyway. And now, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we kick off tonight with Mr. Rowan Atkinson. Thank you.
Next, please. I think you're the last for audition today.
Yes.
You can read music, can you?
Oh, yes, I can.
Can you sight read music?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Would you just mind singing that for me, please? Just, fine. You know, in your own time. Just relax. I'll go over here. Just relax.
Yes, indeed. I say potatoes, and you say potatoes. You say tomatoes, and I say tomatoes. Potatoes. Tomatoes. Let's call the whole thing off. You say pajamas and I say pajamas. You say Bahamas and I say Bahamas. Pajamas, pajamas, Bahamas, Bahamas. I'm sorry, I just can't see what's wrong with this relationship.
I've got a viper in this box, you know.
Really? Good gracious me.
Oh, yes, it's not an ass. Looks rather like an ass, but isn't one. It's a viper. Some people can't tell the difference between a viper and an ass. More fool them, I say. Ha, 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 ha.
Yes.
Cleopatra had an ass. It bit her in the bra. I'd rather have a viper myself.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it?
Not that they're cheaper to run. Oh, no. If anything, the viper is more voracious than the ass. My viper eats like a horse.
Like a horse, eh?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I'd like a horse. Yes, I've always yearned for a horse. I'd love to have a horse. Mind you, you never cram a horse into a little box like this. Too small for a horse.
Yes, it would be difficult, I can see that.
Wouldn't be difficult, it'd be bloody impossible. Cram a horse in a little box like this. You try it, no thank you very much. You can't go cramming horses into a little box like this, thank you very much.
Yes, I realise that.
I haven't got a fish in here. There's no fish in my box, you see. It's only cardboard, this box, you see. So if you had a fish in here, you'd get the water seeping through onto your knees, you see. It's ideal for a viper, but no good for a fish. You see, they haven't waterproofed cardboard yet. Or if they have, they haven't told me.
Haven't they?
Or if they've told me, I've forgotten one way or another. So, this box, alas, is no good for a fish. Some people think I've got a toad in here.
Really?
A toad in here? If they knew me, they'd know I wouldn't have a toad in here. I can't abide toads. Vipers devour toads, you know. They devour them. They come up crouching toad, and suddenly there's nothing to smile about here. And suddenly, run! The toad goes all the way down the viper's belly. You can see it starting off large at its throat and then smaller and smaller until it is ejected like a small black barrow. Serpents. I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
Not at all, no, I was just thinking of the barrow.
Serpents hear through their jaws, you know. It's the bone structure that does it. Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. It is the bone structure.
Yes, I suppose it would be.
A bee? A bee? I haven't got a bee in here, thank you very much. You'd hear it buzzing if there was a bee in here. Yeah, have a listen to my viper. You won't hear any buzzing.
No, if you hear any buzzing, no thanks, I believe you.
No fangs? No fangs? You won't find fangs on a bee, thank you very much. That's one thing you won't find on a bee is fangs. Serpents bite. Bees sting. That's how you tell the difference between a bee and a serpent.
I see. Now, look, I'm trying to read my paper. Would you please be quiet?
Be quiet? Bees aren't quiet. Bees make this terrible buzzing sound. Oh, buzz, buzz, buzz goes a bumblebee, twiddle-diddle goes a bird. Listen, look, to no noise from here.
Look, please, I wish you would shut up.
Oh, it's shut up, all right. You wouldn't catch me setting a viper loose in a railway carriage, thank you very much. Not my viper loose in a railway carriage, no, thank you very much. It's completely shut up. Here, where are you going?
I'm going into the next compartment.
I don't see why. I'm not going to let my viper loose.
It's not that, if you don't mind my saying so. It's just that I find your conversation a bore.
I beg your pardon?
I said a bore, B-O-R-E, a bore. Good night.
I haven't got a bore in here. What can possess him to think I've got a bore in here? It's a viper, all right. It's not an asp.
Happy.
Hello? Hello? Hello. I want to send a telegram, please, if I may. Yes? Well, I am the subscriber, and my name is Desmond. Yours is Glynnis. Yes. My surname is Desmond. Yours is bad. We seem to be drifting into a relationship of somewhat redundant intimacy. Yes. My address, 23 Gloucester Crescent, NW1, telephone number 485-8319. And the telegram is going to a Miss Tessa Prossa. That's Tessa Prossa. 16 Chalcot Square, SW19. Right. Right is not the telegram. What I will do, I will say, here is the telegram, and then anything I say subsequent to that will be the telegram. Here is the telegram. Are you still there? No. That's all right. No. Telegram is, bless your little, yes, bless your little botty booze. Botty booze. I've never been called upon to spell it. I suppose it's B-O-T-T-I-B-O-O-E-S, though I think probably the last E is not statutory. Well, it's a diminutive of bottom, I suppose. No, Miss Prosser doesn't have a diminutive bottom. That's partly the joke, you see. Anyway, and I want to sign it, Desmond Donkey Draws. Well, it's a term of affection Miss Prosser is wont to use at moments of heightened excitement. Well, that's the whole of the message. Then I want to round it off by the word Norwich. Norwich. Well, it's an idiomatic way of saying knickers off ready when I come home. You see, it's the initial letters of each word. Yes. I know knickers is spelt with a K. I was at Oxford. It was one of the first things they taught us. And in a perfect world, I suppose it would be courage. But I don't think that carries quite the same idiomatic force. Burma? No, I haven't come across there. Burma. What's there? Be upstairs ready, my angel. Yes, well, I like that. Very nice. I don't think it would be appropriate in this case for strictly topographical reasons. Because Miss Prosser, in fact, lives in a basement flat. And if she were upstairs ready, she would, in fact, be in the flat of the window dresser from Bourne and Hollingsworth. And I don't think she would want that. And I certainly don't think he would. That's it, then. What? Obscene? Norwich? Oh, I certainly don't think so. Oh, no. I mean, what about the Bishop of Norwich? When he signs his letters, Cyril Norwich, does he mean Cyril Norwich? Or Cyril, knickers off ready when I come home? Who knows? Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hello. And good evening. There always comes a dread moment on an occasion of this nature when someone gets up on his or her hind legs and makes a speech. That moment has now come. I know that the last thing anybody here wants to do is to listen to a speech, and Dustin, you're all beginning to enjoy yourselves, but the last thing I want to do is to make a speech, believe me. But I do think that we cannot let an occasion of this nature go by without stopping for a moment just to say a few words about what a worthwhile and enjoyable occasion it is. We all of us take things for granted too easily. I know I do. And I do think that unless somebody stands up and just bothers to put it into words, we might all just sit here without realizing quite what a worthwhile and enjoyable time we were all, in fact, having. It cannot, I think, be said too often that an occasion of this nature doesn't just happen of its own accord. A lot of people have had to work very hard to make it possible. They've given up a lot of very valuable time, time when they could perhaps have been doing other things. Things which were perhaps even more worthwhile and enjoyable. And I think we should perhaps try to remember that. Let's all have a good time and enjoy ourselves by all means. But let's try to bear in mind as we do so, quite how much hard work and long hours and personal sacrifice have gone into it. Oh, and I must just say here, before I forget, that Mr. Chert tells me there are still a great number of tickets left unsold for the grand lucky draw. So could we all please put our backs into it and make one last effort? There are a lot of splendid prizes to be won, and anyway, the prizes are not what count. Oh, yes, and would people please not put unwanted sandwiches and other matter into the heating vents? I know how easy it is for little fingers to do, and perhaps for fingers that are not quite so little. But getting out small pieces of decayed fish paste with knitting needles and surgical forceps, as we had to do last year, does waste a great deal of the very limited time available to the committee. I should just like to say a word of thanks to the many people involved in making tonight such a success. I'm sure that having their names mentioned was the last thing they had in mind in the first place. And they'll probably never forgive me. But I hope they'll forgive me if there are any names I forget to mention. First and foremost, of course, our heartiest thanks are due to Mrs. Parry. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that without Mrs. Parry, an occasion of this nature simply could not take place. This is, in a very special sense, her baby. Ever since the late Lord Combermere, on his deathbed, first planted the seed. Our thanks are due in no less measure for his unfailing cheerfulness and for his apparent readiness in emergencies to dash almost anywhere in the middle of the night clad in old army boots and a Manchester United scarf and other things too, not just those. And I should like to say a special word of thanks to Mr. Sparrow, who has come along here tonight against doctor's orders and in spite of being in considerable pain. I think we might perhaps try to remember that later when we see him trying to entertain us all once again. With just a song at twilight on the musical Saw. I must also mention the noble work performed by so many others too numerous to mention. Mrs. Shortstreet, Mrs. Flowerdew, the Mrs. Wales, Mr. Chirt, Mr. Hapforth Senior, Mrs. Winterbourne, Miss Tumley, Mr. Pettigrew. And last but not least, I should like to thank all of you for coming here tonight and working so hard to enjoy the entertainment that all these good people have worked so hard to provide. It is particularly gratifying to see so many young faces here tonight. We often think that young people today are only out for a good time. Well, that certainly can't be said of these young people. It's also very gratifying to see all these other people who are not quite so young. I know how tempting it is, believe me, just to sit in front of a good fire and watch your favourite television programme. And there are one or two rather good programmes on tonight. I know how tempting it is to think, oh, let someone else go out this time and get themselves entertained. I must say, it is remarkable how an occasion of this nature does seem to bring out the best in people. It's just like in the war or at a great rail crash. Everybody cheerfully rallies round and makes the best of it. I would just like to say in all sincerity that it is people like you that make an occasion of this nature the sort of occasion it is. I'm, I'm sure you'll all be very gratified to hear that as a result of tonight's efforts and during the past year, we have raised the very gratifying total of £23 and 17p. Well, you don't want to sit here listening to me talk, so I'm going to sit down and let Mr. Dauntwater stand up and speak. Mr. Dauntwater, I should explain, has agreed at very short notice to make the speech, thanking me for my speech. So I should just like, if I might in advance, to save time later on, to thank Mr. Dauntwater now for his speech, and to thank you all very much for listening to me. And remember, not in the heating vents.
Lumberjack and I'm okay. I'll sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack, he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the lavatory. On Wednesdays I go shopping and have buttered scones for tea.
He cuts down trees, eats his lunch, he goes to the lavatory. On Wednesdays he goes shopping and has buttered scones for tea. He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I skip and jump, I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars.
He cuts down trees, he skips and jumps, he likes to press wildflowers. He puts on women's clothing and hangs around in bars. He's a lumberjack, he's okay. It's all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I wear a heels, suspenders and a bra. I wish I'd been a girlie, just like my dear papa.
He cuts down trees, he wears high heels, suspenders and a bra. Huh?
Oh, get it.
And there you have it. That concludes our brief look at some of the comedy from the Amnesty International shows over the years. Actually, most of what we heard today came from the very first show, the record of which is entitled A Poke in the Eye with a Sharp Stick. Also, to answer various requests that I've gotten, that's also the record that the wonderful John Cleese Last Supper piece came from. And since the record came out 10 years ago on a British label which is no longer in business, namely Transatlantic, your chances of finding it are fairly slim. But, you know, that's what you have me for. Let's see. We heard the introduction by John Cleese. That was from The Secret Policeman's Other Ball. And then from this first Amnesty show, we heard You Say Potato by John Bird and John Fortune. And then we heard Not an Asp, a piece by Peter Cook, performed by Peter Cook and John Fortune. The Telegram piece by Alan Bennett of Beyond the Fringe. Then The Appeal by Eleanor Brown. That was written by Michael Frayn, who wrote Noises Off, in addition to Wild Honey, which is just at the Amundsen, and Clockwise, John Cleese's latest movie. And Lumberjack, the wonderful Monty Python song, as sung by most of Beyond the Fringe and Monty Python there. So next week we'll be listening to mainly excerpts from the Comic Relief show. And until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.